But those ones that are ambassadors, those that are trying to do His will, He will let you in on some sacred secrets. Then last week, we saw the preparation for departure. And so chapter 14, so several chapters before we get to the end of the book, he's starting to make preparation for his departure. And we saw last week that he was dealing with the enemy, like we are all going to if we're trying to live for God. And then we saw he was trying to help his disciples. And so, of course, that's what Christians are supposed to do, is learn to be Christ-like, learn to be His disciple, and then teach others also so they can continue. So we have that same dealings in our life. We deal with the enemy. We deal with hopefully discipling people. And then we saw He dealt with the multitudes. And so that was chapter 14. And so tonight we're doing chapter 15, and this is the king's concern. The king's concern. And so that's why he started preparing for his departure. Why? Because he was concerned about things. There were some things that he knew. Nothing caught Jesus by surprise, and he knew that they were going to take place. But his greatest concern, the king's concern, was that truth and love continued. And so that's what he told his disciples when they were watching him be taken up. And, you know, some of them sat there gazing. And they said, you know, why are you standing here gazing? Get busy on doing what he told you to do. And so that was what he wanted to do. He wanted the enemy. He knew that the enemy was going to try to bring in falsehood. So he wanted the truth to dominate, to stay, and not let the enemy do away with truth. But then he didn't want them to get so, I guess, dogmatic on dotting the I's and crossing the T's, which they need to be dotted and they need to be crossed. All right? But don't do it hateful. Be loving, and so forth. And so we see here, we're going to see in Matthew 15 that he was concerned about the truth continuing and about the love continuing. Because all of us in here, we have, you know, somewhat love in our hearts, hopefully, for people. But when they pull out in front of us, it can go away real quickly. Or when they call us a name, it can go away real quickly. Or if they hurt one of our loved ones, it can go away real quickly. And so we see that he was concerned about that. That the truth wouldn't be carried on. Love wouldn't be carried on. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight. And so we see here that he was making sure about the truth. And what happened was when the truth exposed the Jewish leaders' hypocrisy. And that's what Matthew 15 is saying here. They're asking him questions. Why don't you do it this way? And Jesus turned right back around and said, well, why don't you do it this way? And of course, what they were saying is, this is how we've always done it. This is the tradition. This is, you know, this is right. And he was like, whoa. You know, yeah, these are traditions and you came up with them, but they're your traditions, maybe not God's. It's maybe not what God wants to do. So when he said, okay, the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Bible, the truth of the doctrine, I want it to carry on. And he said, this is how it's going to be. Obviously, the Jewish leaders rose up and said, because that's not what it's about. It's about this. And then truth not only exposed the Jewish leaders' hypocrisy, but the truth also showed the Gentile crowd love, and he met their needs. And so that's what happened here when he was exposing the truth and saying, I'm doing it lovingly. But he didn't change the truth to appease the Jewish leadership. He said, no, the truth is going to stay. And I love you, and it's going to stay. But because they wouldn't receive it, he went to the Gentiles, and they received it, and he gave them love. And so let's look at the first point here. Matthew 15, it says here, and then came Jesus, the scribes and the Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying. All right, so the scribes and the Pharisees, they didn't necessarily get along with each other. I mean, they weren't arch enemies or anything like that, but they didn't really get along. The Pharisees, they thought they had it all figured out, and they were God's gift to religion, and they were just, you know, super Christians. And the scribes were, you know, of course, copying down the Word of God and things like that. And so they were copying down the truth. But they got together and said, we're going to go give Jesus a piece of our mind. And they had, it says here, they came from Jerusalem. And again, they were traveling on the Shoe Leather Express, I'm sure. Maybe a camel with a humpback or something. But it wasn't a train or a plane or a car. And so it took a while. So just kind of like what we do. When we're in a car for a long time, or if we're in an airplane for a long time, we can mull over stuff, right? And so I'm sure they were getting more upset and more upset and more upset the farther they traveled. And so when they got there, we see a united attack. You know, the Pharisees were the best thing since sliced bread. Oh, yeah, and the scribes, man, they're always right. they attacked the Lord Jesus. And they agreed. Yeah, that's right, that's right, that's right. And you know, even though they didn't, you know, think that each other was the greatest. But so we saw a united attack. And it says here, and they came from a pretty far travel on foot. But so they saw the seriousness in their purpose. Maybe they said it over and over what they were going to say. And you can see in 15 here, I mean, they just called him out and asked him questions. Verse 2 says here, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? They wash not their hands when they eat the bread. And so when you read that, you might think that they had a problem with germs. All right, you know, they might have been chasing them around with Lysol, or Miss Kim's favorite, Odoban. And, you're squirting everybody, or, you know, like some people think Windex does everything, right? Kills germs, cleans your countertops, things like that. But that wasn't the issue. They weren't upset that they were eating this bread with dirty fingers. Okay? It was that, no, that's the tradition. That's what you're supposed to do first. You're supposed to wash your hands. And kids, don't go home and tell your mom and dad that you don't have to wash your hands before you eat supper now. Because you're still supposed to wash your hands before you eat supper, because there are germs and things like that. But that wasn't the case. You know, a lot that verse that's not really a verse that everybody always quotes, cleanliness is next to godliness. I've never read it, but, you know, again, that's what, you know, a lot of people give them credit. They think, well, they should have washed their hands, man. That's just clean. That's just, you know, but if it's just affecting you, you know, I'm not feeding you with dirty fingers. But they were just upset of the tradition. This is the routine you were supposed to go through, and they were mad about it. So it says here they set up an attack on Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes got together. And it says here they were upset about the disciples not washing their hands. And if you read in Mark 7, 1 through 4, it even goes into more detail about the tradition part of it, not just the dirty hands, all right? And then it says here, and they let their traditions, what they considered their moral law, come more important than God's law. And again, if we ever try to earn our salvation, it's all about, you know, earning it. That's the thing, instead of just accepting it. The truth is, you don't have to do anything to be saved except accept Jesus Christ. And ask Him to save you and things like that. You don't have to do all those things. Now, once you get saved, the Bible suggests, gives you that choice to live a certain way, not to keep yourself saved, but just so God can bless you. So the thing is the law, the truth, and the love should stay the same. Don't let moral law and traditions overcome that. And so what it says here, it says, we do this when we say that, you know, I think my way or the way we've always done it is better than God's way. And that's what they were doing. And so that was the problem. It wasn't the dirty hands. It wasn't that. It was just their law had become more important than God's law. So when we read the Bible, we hear it taught, preached, or whatever, we have to respond. And so God's word is and doctrine should be the final authority. Again, not the way our grandmama taught us, or not the way we've always done it, not what I think. So they were basically saying, well, I always thought, well, we have always done, well, I think this way is better, or my opinion is, we see that that's where it hung. It didn't hang on, well, what does the Bible say? Well, what does God want? Or what does Jesus teach? And so we see that was the argument here in chapter verse 3. It says here, but he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress? You're calling me out for not keeping the traditions here. Why do you always transgress and commit, transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? So you holding on to your tradition is breaking God's commands. And so he called them right back. And so we see here that Jesus had to deal with the very foundation of their religion. And so again, that's why a lot of people get upset with those of us, I guess if we want to say Baptist or Bible believers, when we say that there's only one way to get to heaven, they get angered. They get mad. And that's what happens. So that's what why are you not washing your hands? Well, it'll be all right. They're just hungry. No. This is just how we always done it. This is traditions. And they start aggravating each other or arguing with each other. So Jesus, he basically had to attack the very foundation of their religious faith that they had built on the traditions, not on the doctrine. Then it says here, then that Jesus began to deal with them on their accusation. So he attacked their foundation with the truth in love. And so then they accused him, and so he just accused them right back in verse 3. And then it says here, and then Jesus concluded with the application, verses 7 through 11. So he goes on down through there, and we'll read a little bit of it. It says here, for God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses his father or his mother, let him die the death. But ye say, whosoever shall say unto his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profit by me, and honor not is in the not honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. And basically, you know, he was saying, you know, what's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, type mentality, and so forth. And thus he had made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. So he was showing them that they, you know, all their thought process, all their traditions were man-made, and when they went and did them, they basically were transgression against God's laws. And he's called them hypocrites for it, verse 7. And then verse 8 says here that these people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And he says, so, you know, these traditions, you might always say the right thing, but your heart's way away. So we see here that he attacked the foundation of their religion, their beliefs, their way of life, and then the accusations, he's dealing with it, and then he applies it to them. And what he was saying basically is found in Isaiah 29:13, where he's talking about the father and the mother and all these transgressions and so forth. But Isaiah 29:13 says this, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth, in other words, they might be saying the right things. It sounds good. Wash your hands. Well, that sounds good. You know, it depends on what job you have. If you're a plumber and you've been working on the toilet, I would suggest wash your hands. But anyway, if you're a computer technician and you've been touching computers that maybe 15 other people have touched, I would suggest wash your hands. So it sounds good. He's saying the right thing. It says here, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me. So in other words, why they're doing what they're doing, they're not doing it because they love Jesus. They're doing it because they've always done it that way. That's tradition. That makes them feel good about themselves. Things like that. So they're saying the right thing. And their fear towards me is taught by the precepts of men. So in other words, their salvation, their relationship with God, their relationship with the world is all based on what they say. And things like that. So Jesus was saying obedience to tradition made a person disobedient to God's Word. So again, you know, well, this is what Grandma always said, or this is what I've always thought. But if it's against the Bible, it's not the truth. It sounds good. It may make you feel good. And you may have been doing that for years. But if you do, you're transgressing against God's law. So the tradition was external. But God's word was talking about internal, the truth, the heart. Not what you say, but how you feel inside. So Galatians 1:14 says this, and profited in the Jews' religion above many, my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of tradition of my fathers. So what he's saying is what has happened, you've allowed keeping those traditions. Yeah, you do it with enthusiasm. Yeah, you take a stand. You would fight for it. But it's the ritual. It's the tradition, not what God says. And so traditions deal with rituals where God's truth deals with reality. And so the reality is, just like we talked this morning, God's grace. He's got everything into control. He wants us all to be saved. He wants us all to live like He wants us to do. So that's the reality, and it should be God's Word, not tradition of men. Since their tradition brings empty words, and with truth, but the heart is not changed. And so again, it's just tradition. It's just what they say the right thing. They may think the right thing, But in their heart, there's no change. The doctrine is what changes. So tradition robs a person of power from the Word of God. That's why the Bible tells us to hang everything on those two commandments. Love God and Him only. Have no other God before Him. Love your brother as yourself. And hang them all on that right there. Not traditions. Not what you think. Well, not what you've been taught. If it was a tradition instead of a commandment of God, go with the commandment of God. So David said in Psalm 51:10, that's, create in me a clean heart, O God. And so that's what he was saying. Create it, yes, a clean heart from my sins, yes, but from those traditions of man. You know, this is what we've always heard, or this is what we've thought, or this is what they've said. But I want to do what God wants. I want to make sure that I'm doing what God wants. So number one was truth. Jesus had rejected the Jewish traditions of the scribes and the Pharisees. The disciples actually even questioned him in verses 12 through 14. And the disciples in their relationship here, we saw in 14 that he had fed the thousands of people, and he was scared that they would say, okay, set up your kingdom right now. And he was scared that the disciples would say, yeah, let's do that. So same thing here. They start questioning him, and he gives them the right answers. Now then the disciples are saying, well, you know, what they said sounded right. What they said made sense. What they said kind of, fit my brains. And so he says here in verses 12 through 14, and then again came his disciples and said to him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? You know, Lord, you offended them. I told him the truth. He didn't say, you stupid jerk. He just said, hey, follow God's commands, not to the traditions. And so some people, they interpret that, hey, you stupid jerk. How dare you? And so the disciples, they saw him, challenge him back. You know, it offends me that you go against my Father's commands. If I offend you by not keeping your tradition, both of us are offended, but, I'm going to choose God's way over traditions every time. And so the disciples said, Lord, you offended them. And so they started questioning. But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. So in other words, if it's something that's been taught that God didn't say, get rid of it. If it offends, it offends. It is what God said. And so next it says here, verse 13, let them alone. I told them the truth. And if they have the Holy Spirit inside of them bearing witness of what I'm saying, they'll get on the right page. But when I tell them the truth and they resist it, they're either not saved, don't have the Holy Spirit, that's between them and God, or they're rebelling. And so let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both of them shall fall into the ditch. He's like, I can't help it. I got to tell the truth. I got to preach the truth and so forth. So we see here tradition deals with their mindset and their habits and so forth. But the truth is the truth. So Jesus responded that these blind leaders of the blind, they're both going to fall in the ditch. So then it says here, Peter was not content with that. So verse 15, just like Peter did a lot of times, he had to carry it a little farther. If that's you, God bid me to walk on the water. Come on. And cutting people's ears off and, not doing, I'll die with you. I'll never deny you. So he had this issue, okay? And so he had told the other disciples, he said, look, it is what it is. God said this is the way it is. And if it's not that way, it should be rooted up. If they want to believe that, they just lead each other. And so verse 15, it says here, and then answered Peter, declaring to us this parable. And Jesus said, are ye also without understanding? And so Peter asked him again. It's kind of like if you have several children, and one of them asks you a question if they can do something, and you just know you can't do that, and you explain why you do that, and then sister asks the same exact question. Well, can I? Were you not listening to what I said to your brother or your older sister? No, you can't. If they can't, why would I let you do it? All of us have been there and done that and made that speech before. It's not different, Peter. And so that's what he's saying in verses 15 through 20. And Matthew 15 dealt with, it says here, Jesus explains it yet again. So Jesus dealt with this truth about the heart and what comes out of your mouth. And so he says here, and Jesus answered, and you don't have understanding. Do not yet you understand, and whatsoever entereth out at thy mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat the unwashed hands defileth not a man. And so again, it's better to know the truth, know the doctrines of the Word of God, and live by them than wash your hands. And again, so he wasn't saying you ought not wash your hands. He wasn't saying be dirty. But he was saying don't follow the traditions of man and so forth. So the next thing we see that says here, number two, first one was the truth. Jesus rejected the Jewish traditions, verses 1 through 20. Number two, comparison. He responded to the Gentiles' need, verses 21 through 34. So that's what he said. Disciples and Peter, all right, if they're going to stick to the traditions, let them be rooted up. If they're going to stick to the traditions, there's no change in them. They're going to be blind people leading blind people into a ditch. There's nothing we can do. If they're going to hold the traditions, and that's the sad thing. You know, especially if you try to give the person the gospel and say, look, you can go to heaven if you admit you're a sinner, you accept what Jesus Christ did for you, and you ask Him to save you, He'll take you to heaven. Well, this says if I get baptized, I'll go to heaven. Well, I've always been taught if I was a member of this type of church, I would go to heaven. Well, I was always taught if I did good, my good outweighed my bad, then I'd go to heaven. Well, that's not what the Bible says. But that's what I've always been taught. And you're just like, er. And so, again, I'm not going to change my belief. Well, yeah, you're right. I think I'll just get baptized and that'll get me to heaven. I think I'll just join this church and that'll get me to heaven. I think I'll just start doing good works. No, Jesus wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to say, okay, yeah, you're right. We should have stick to the traditions of washing our hands before we go through all this eating and saying things and all. No. He's like, no, the truth is you need to do what God says, not the traditions of man. And he explained that to the disciples, and then he explained it to Peter. And so now he's saying, okay, if this person won't listen, I'm going to the next person. And you can find that truth all throughout this Bible. You know, they went to this town and they tried to preach the gospel and they wouldn't hear it. What did Jesus say? Dust the dust off your feet and go to the next town. And some people might say, well, that's mean. That's not compassionate. That's what he said. He said, look, if they're not going to listen, we can't make them. So root it up. Go. Let them butt with their own head. Let the blind lead the blind. And so he went to the people that would hear. So same thing with us individually. If you knock on this door or you give this person a tract, I don't want anything to do with that. Well, you know, I'm not going to sit there and argue with them. Well, you're going to die and fry and sizzle like bacon there, bud. I'm not going to say that. All right? That would be mean. I say, well, I wish you would read it. It does tell you the truth about what the Bible says. But then I'm going to go to a person, kind of like that one we heard about this morning that was sitting in the chariot, reading the tract, reading the scripture. So that's what we do. And that's what Jesus was saying here. Look, if they won't turn from the traditions to the doctrines of God, you know, yes, pray with them. Pray for them. Encourage them to do it. But if they're not going to, we got to just go reach somebody else. And so, anyway, if we see here the comparison, he responded to the Gentiles, verses 21 through 34. The Gentile woman with the demon-possessed child. In verses 21, it says here, and then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. So he tried. He said, look, if you're going to be mad at me about the traditions, you won't accept the doctrines of God. I'm going to go on to somebody that will. And it says here, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out in the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievous vexed with the devil. And so again, this is a Gentile. Somebody that's not a Jewish person. And so, you're not supposed to have fellowship with them, not talk to them, things like that. But she wanted the Lord. And she wanted Him to heal her daughter. So we see here that He's trying to prove a point. Maybe some people take these verses out of context. So He starts saying to them, or to her, what the Jews would have said, those traditions. So he was trying to prove a point to her. He was trying to prove a point to his disciples. And it says here, he said, but he answered her not a word. And so here he is going through what they said, these traditions. The Jews don't speak to the Gentiles. But he answered her, and it says here in disciples, and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. And so now they're doing the Jewish and the Gentile thing and just get rid of her. But he answered and said, am I not to send but the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Is that the only ones that we're supposed to reach? You know, just the Jews? Then it says, and it came, and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take children's bread and cast it unto dogs. So they had, obviously that's what they called the Gentiles, the dogs. And it says here, and she said, truth, Lord, I'm a dog. I'm a sinner. I'm worthless. I agree with that. And then it says, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. So I know what you have I need. And I'll take it. If you want to put me in the category of a dog, if you want to call me a sinner, I'm not a sinner. I've never sinned. That's what some people say. All right. How dare God call me a sinner? How dare God send me to hell? She was admitted it. Yep, truth. Dog, sinner, deserving of nothing. But if you'll just drop a few crumbs, I'll snatch them up. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. So again, he didn't mean what he was saying there. He was proving a point to those listening. And he's showing that we're getting past our traditions. If you want to listen to the traditions, this is what the traditions say. Shut up. Leave me alone. Get out of here, you dog. That's what tradition is. But that's not what truth is. And that's not what love is. And so he starts giving her some love, and she's like, I'll take it. And then he said, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And so again, we see that Jesus is like, look, I'm over here talking to this guy, and he's arguing with me about a tradition. Wash your hands before you eat the bread. You wicked, no good for nothing sinner. All right, and that's all he's arguing about. Here's a lady that we're not even supposed to talk to. We're not even supposed to fellowship with. They're dogs. They're not worthy. And she just admitted that. It says here, and Jesus departed from thence, and he came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, went up to the mountain, sat down there, and the great multitude came to him, having those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. And so again, there's people out there that want it. So he was trying to say, look, the truth and love. I love everybody, but if they won't accept the truth, if they can't, unless they become like a little child and have that type of faith, they can't be saved. And if they're going to argue, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that truth and that love and give it to somebody that will. And it's not God's will that any should perish. He wants all to come to repentance. But if somebody is going to just argue about that tradition and argue about their works or argue about their thoughts, it's blind leading the blind. You can't help them. And so he's trying to prove a point to them. And so he said, I would have argued with her just like this person was arguing with me about her being a dog and this, that, and the other. So we see that the Gentiles were unclean as far as the Jews were concerned. The Jews referred to them as dogs. So in context, these traditions of what they thought and what they said, Jesus was showing them. Okay, if we're going to do the tradition thing, I'll just carry it on. You dog, get out of here. Leave me alone. I'm not even going to talk to you. Anything like that. But she kept on and kept on and kept on. And so he congratulated her and commended her on her great faith. So we see in verse 24, that lost sheep of Israel, I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Anybody. And so Jesus will save anybody that will come to him. So it's not verse 26. He called her a dog, and then so that woman's faith was great. Why? Because she was a Gentile. Because she was the woman that the Jewish leaders didn't even listen to much. He was showing them that the Jewish leaders. I mean, they wouldn't even speak to a woman and things like that. So then the disciples were even saying, send her away. Get rid of her. That's right. Keep these traditions. Then Jesus was saying all the things that had to prove their point. But she kept coming, she kept coming, she kept coming, showing her great faith. Then B, the sick and the handicapped, verses 29 through 31. You heard the list that we read just a while ago. They all came. And it says here, we have to see the difference of their heart. Okay, the ones that were sick and the ones that were maimed and the ones that were blind, the ones that were hurting, they saw their condition. The first group was holding their traditions. They saw themselves as righteous. They saw themselves as having it figured out. They saw themselves as earning their way to heaven. But here comes the dumb and the maimed and the blind and all that couldn't walk and so forth. And they saw themselves as they were, sinners and hurt and needed Jesus' help. So Jesus, the Jewish leaders, they saw Jesus, but they also held to their traditions. They did what Satan wanted them to do. The Gentiles saw Jesus, but they held to whatever He said, and obviously were healed. So the woman with the demon-possessed daughter, she was healed. All the sick and the handicapped, they were healed. And then verses 32 through 39, we see here this was the hungry. And then Jesus called the disciples and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And so we see here that Jesus is taking care of them with truth and love. Truth and love. And He says, when I'm gone, I want you to continue in truth and love. So if you have hungry people, feed them. That's why, obviously, when people come to church, they come to Sunday school and they want to learn. We're going to teach them the Word of God. They come to church and they want to hear the Word of God. What we're going to do is, with God's help, we're going to preach the Word of God. Feed them, and that's what they'll say sometimes about church. You know, I'm gonna, go to a different church because I'm not getting fed and things like that. And of course, that's part of church. First of all, it's a command that we're supposed to go, and so we're being obedient. Secondly, we can fellowship and strengthen each other and so forth. But all that is what Jesus was trying to teach His disciples here in chapter 15. Say, look, let's just truth, love, and it's sad that some people won't accept it. It's sad that the devil has convinced some people and caused them to be blind. He's blinded their hearts, blinded their minds into some false thing. So, if we have somebody hungry and they're hungering after righteousness, we can get them there. So the next, we see here the enemies of truth. In conclusion here, this is chapter 15. The enemies of truth are often religious leaders. And that's the way it is in our day. Back then, these were Jewish leaders. These were Pharisees. These were scribes, people that copied the Word of God out. And these enemies of the truth were religious leaders who lived according to man's traditions. Satan, after helped them use their religion to blind their minds and of the sinners of the truth of the Word of God. And so these traditionalists, they were holding to what they had, and obviously all that did was create new traditionalists. And they taught a lie, and then now this person believes the lie, and so what they do is then they teach that a lie. Where Jesus said, hey, no, we're going to teach the truth in love, and then we're willing, and if you're willing, and if you'll keep doing what I'm doing when I leave, you keep telling the truth, and you keep doing that. But the enemies of that is a lot of times religious leaders. Number two, in conclusion, it says here, we must beware of any religious system that gives an excuse to sin, to disobey God's Word. And again, that's what a lot of people will do, to excuse their sin away. Well, the reason why I do this is, in other words, it's never that person's fault. And that's what these religious leaders, well, our tradition is you're supposed to do this, then wash your hands, then do this, and this is the way it's supposed to be. But we're supposed to beware of any religious system that gives excuse. Number three, we must beware of worship that comes from lips and not the heart. So they were saying the right thing. It's kind of like somebody holding you by the nape of the neck and punching your face but saying, I love you, every time they hit you. You're confusing me. It's not coming across as love. it's coming across like maybe you hate me and you want to hurt me and so forth. And so these traditionalists, they always might have said the right thing, but it wasn't coming from the heart. Number four, as far as conclusion, is this. If we major on the inner man of the heart, the outer man will be what God wants it to be. True holiness comes from within. And so again, we know the Pharisees that kept those traditions. They looked right. They dressed right. They said the right thing. They prayed. They gave money. They did all these things. But it was not from the heart. It was to earn that respect and that position. And they were doing it for self-gratification. But true worship comes from the heart. Next, number five, if it's different, if it's difficult to break free from tradition, there is something inside us that wants to hold on to the past. Peter had to be told twice. Right? So if it's difficult to break free from that tradition. And so again, these people have been taught, and that's why the Bible calls any person like this a twofold child of hell. Right? So in other words, they've been taught a lie or a tradition or whatever, and that's what they're holding on to get to heaven or to have their relationship with God solidified. And for them to, say that's wrong, admit that that's wrong, and then accept. So now they have two choices. The person that's like the dog that's just, my daughter's going to die, I need you, God. She didn't have to get over tradition. She just needed God's help. And so a person that has trusted in maybe a work, trusted in a tradition, now they're going to have to be convinced that that's wrong and told the truth. And so it's difficult to break free from that. And that's what he was trying to teach them. Number six, Jesus loves and wants everyone to be saved. And so I believe when he went to the house of Israel, there were some, obviously, that got saved. There were some that didn't get saved, just like today. You can witness to some will get saved, some will not get saved. So Jesus loves and wants everyone to get saved, to the Jew first, but then also to the Greek, the Bible says. So just like he's laid it out in Judea, in Samaria, and then all the way out to the uttermost parts of the world. So he wants us to take the truth, and that's what he was trying to teach them. So we see here, this was his concern. I'm concerned that the religious have all these traditions, and maybe people are trying to keep them. In our day and time, I think it's more, the relaxed, it's not that big a deal, is more of a mentality than this. They water everything down, or they try to merge everything together, or they try to make people feel comfortable. Where Jesus says, look, he told them, you need to pluck that out and get rid of it. That sounds a little bit uncomfortable. If you believe in that, you're leading other people and y'all both going to fall into this. That's a little uncomfortable. If you're not going to hear me, I'm just going to go to somebody else's will. That's a little uncomfortable. And so we see that he's like, I'm concerned. And so when I leave, I need you guys to continue with the truth, but continue in love. And so let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day and thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Lord, obviously Jesus was teaching in this chapter the ones that believed the traditions. He was teaching them that was wrong. And obviously we saw that most of them would not accept that. Then obviously he had his disciples that were raised that way too. And they had grown, but then they maybe backslid and had to realize that, hey, the truth, and this is the love of God. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to realize that in our day and time, it's the same way. The devil's the same. Our flesh is the same. Traditions of men are the same. But God's love and God's truth is the same. And so, Lord, help us to do what we're supposed to do with the truth. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us the invitation. If you'd like to come pray and thank God for the truth.